Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80, Text 33. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nanvarta kovida brahman manasama vatamiha yemaya gulina vacha tanant anjo bhavarnavam. Certainly, O Brahman, all followers of the Varnashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak in my form as the spiritual master, and thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence, best understand their own welfare. One's father is a natural object of reverence, as is a religious leader who initiates one into sacred ceremonies and instructs one in general wisdom. But ultimately, the bona fide spiritual master, learned in the transcendental science, and thus able to take one across the ocean of birth and death to the spiritual world, such a guru is most deserving of worship and respect, for he is the direct representative of the personality of Godhead. Just one second, I have to do this. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Daksulunvatam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Napitam Yena Bhutare Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Padam Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from excuse me, from New Jersey. I'm at the place of Lakshmi Nisringa and Puttarajani. They're preparing for a program at their house at 3 o'clock. So, and I'm sorry I missed the class yesterday, last Sunday. I really don't like to miss the classes. It's my joy, and I like to keep a certain consistency. Try to get a certain consistency. And I was at the Sadhu Sangha Kirtan Mela retreat, and it was wonderful. I mean, I really made a commitment to absorb myself in the holy name, trying to come to not less than 7 or 8 hours of the kirtan every day besides the other things I was doing. And that's how faith is developed, because it works. When you absorb yourself in the holy name, it just has an effect. And what is that effect? You get a drop of spiritual love. And the drop of spiritual love gives you an attraction for the object of your love, which is Krishna in all his manifestations of the sacred texts, of the holy name, of the deities. So these retreats are very, very powerful, and they're very, very wonderful. And I think they're essential in terms of the spiritual lives. I was very grateful to be there. And of course, the level of kirtans was quite substantial. It was quite substantial. Now, back to this story, which is the beautiful story of was Maharaj Prickett wants to hear more. And that's what bhakti is. I mean, bhakti is the desire to hear about the object of your devotion. The Prabhupada said, by doing this, one will become mad after hearing. Mad after hearing, just like someone who is an addict, he said, becomes mad at a... Of course, that's pleasure. Addiction is for pleasure. It has nothing to do with happiness. In fact, it decreases your happiness. But this is directly related to the eternal flourishing of the soul. If we want to be happy, we have to come in contact with the soul, which is consciousness, which reaches its fruition in love. And we have to do things that foster that consciousness of love and devotion. Because that is happiness, and that is the only happiness. And if you don't have that, no matter what you have, you don't have happiness. So, Maharaj Prickett has that drop of spiritual love. He's so eager to hear anything about Krishna. See, he's heard the 10th canto. He wants to hear more. And now Krishna is at a Vrindavan in Dwarka. And with a story of one of his friends from school who was extremely impoverished. In fact, when he finally decides to go to Krishna, he didn't even have anything in his home which he could offer. His wife had to beg from other homes some flat rice, which is the kind of the cheapest food. Put a little cloth. Of course, when you have a master, you want to be served. You don't want to be served. You want to serve. And therefore, there's a natural psychological uncomfortableness of asking for something. But at the same time, asking for something when it's actually needed could also be an expression of our love. Because you're recognizing that love from your master, which is in the mood of, I am your protector, I am your maintainer. That's what parental and reverential love, that's the feeling. That's the feeling of parental love, which comes now. Even our reverential love for someone who's above, even though there's such reluctance to accept service, in certain circumstances, when we have no other choice, out of our love and respect for that relationship and the mercy that we receive, in a very humble way, one may ask, so, Siddhama Brahman goes, and he's so poor that it's really hard to tell that he is a married person, because the Grihastha Ashram traditionally would give a facility for people to keep some level of enjoyment. Nothing against the principles of bhakti, for grihastha to dress properly, nicely, the wife to wear jewelry, to live in a nice house. But he had nothing. And therefore, when he finally came to see Krishna, Krishna was asking him, are you married? Because he almost looked like a renunciate. He's confused. Well, what ashram are you in? And then, because ultimately on a spiritual platform, all judgment is on the basis of consciousness. We like those things that enhance our consciousness. We respect people on the basis of their consciousness. Not their power. It's quite a shift for someone who is materialistic or lives in a world where those values are promoted to have that standard. You see, sometimes even you see a devotee is a bit eccentric, of a dude, you know, doesn't make a good impression outside. But they're very elevated spiritually. So do we respect them? Sometimes we don't, because they don't have opulence. But ultimately, a spiritual person will see a person's heart. How much they're selfless and detached. How much they have love in their heart for God, which is the topmost love. Because real love for God is a love which sees God everywhere and therefore is thrilled everywhere in love to serve in an appropriate way. That reminded me, we went to a very interesting, I know people, they don't mind when I tell a little bit about the development of the outreach of this wonderful philosophy and teachings. I went on Friday night. We had the reception for attention to Krishna's wedding. He got married in India with but in deference to his kind parents, he had a reception in New York, and it was just another interesting way how Prabhupada's teachings are being appreciated. And one of the main factors of appreciating someone's teachings is the people who are following it as much as what they say. So I'll just tell the story. It's kind of interesting because Kinshina's parents were, they don't believe in God. They are quite established people in the world. Didn't have appreciation naturally for what he was doing. And he himself couldn't express it properly as a young man coming in. And it caused Kinshin a lot of anxiety, his parents a lot of anxiety. Somehow the wedding, his parents came and they were so well done. And it was appreciated. And they began to see that Kinshin is friends, the one who takes up Krishna consciousness have very, very much high ideals. So there's an appreciation. They really liked my class that I gave there, too, and I somehow bonded with them in a way. And so Bryn of Yoga Maya was so kind, and we had the wedding function there. His family, mostly. Maybe 40 of his family and maybe 15, 20 of the devotees, including the people that helped. But anyway, in that big room in Yoga Maya, nice tables were set up. And the tablecloths, kind of nice chairs were there. And then the people came in, and these were well-to-do people without really, I mean, not a spiritual background. And first thing was nice how much the people appreciated the whole atmosphere there of So people came in and so the devotees that were there were Anantan and Chuta and Janaki, and Ananta's their sister, their other sister, and their kid, their children, and Bryn and Joy, Nadi, some of you may know her, and then Kishori Radha and Kadamba, just a few, Dasacharya and his wife. And wow, what wonderful prasad such an aid, you know. And then it was just so nice. And then there was even a kirtan by Achyuta and Ananta. Yeah, it was just a completely different experience for people. But there's something about the core essence of bhakti that's so attractive. And the people who represent it properly, which means they are real. They are who they are, but devotional. Anyway, we'll go back to the story. I forget, it was somehow connected. I really forgot how, why, but so he's greeted, and now we're in the section that Krishna worships him as a Brahmin. And now we're in the section where they begin to reminisce about their time in the home of the spiritual master. And this is Krishna talking. And he's appreciating the importance of guru. And the concept, Krishna says, take advantage of the words I speak in the form of the spiritual master. And then one can cross over the ocean of material existence, and you can understand best your own welfare. So if both from a standpoint, I think I would say constitutionally, intellectually, constitutionally, in the sense is when you are part of something greater, you follow the dictation of that which is greater, as the hand follows the dictation of the body. It doesn't have it. So in the same way, we are functioning properly and we have value when we are connected to God. which means to God's will, which is represented in the sacred texts and manifest through the heart and the super soul and externally by the external manifestation of the super soul, the spiritual master. So success in life is having the right instructions, having the right ideas, having the right conceptions of what? Of how we can serve God and how we can be connected to that principle. So here he said, take advantage of the words I speak, the directions I give, in the form of those who represent them. And that becomes the most important people in society. Mo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Chachigati Taya Krishnaya Govindaya. I'm dear to the cows and the Brahmins. Krishna says, why? Because what is a Brahmin? A Brahmin is a person who cultivates the qualities of the mode of goodness that allows one to see things clearly and allows one to explain things clearly. Tadvini paripatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekhyavitega. Yaninas tattva darshan. One who sees what? Sees tattva, sees reality. Because our happiness and welfare depends on our relationship with reality. And if we don't see reality, how can we act according to the truth? And if we don't act according to the truth, how can we be in harmony with the truth? How can we be happy? So it's our constitutional position to serve God. And that means his instructions. And those instructions also give us the full knowledge of the world and ourselves in a way that we can do it in the proper way. Because certain instructions are good for all time, and certain instructions are good according to the circumstances we're in. And we need to follow God's will in both circumstances. Mahamija prajati bhyam tapaso pashamena va tusheyam sarvabhutatma ru shushru shapyataha. By the super soul of all beings, and not as satisfied by ritual worship, brahminical initiation, penances of self-discipline, as I am by faithful service rendered to one spiritual master. Purport, the word prajati here indicates either beginning good children or the second birth attained by ritual initiation to Vedic culture. Although both of these are praiseworthy, Lord Krishna here states that faithful service to a bona fide spiritual master is still higher. So, see, because ultimately, what satisfies God is love. So the service to the teacher, who is the servant of God? This is the key. A real teacher, he's living in the world of God, which means he sees the world according to God's desires. And therefore, if you faithfully serve that person, you are entering into God's world and serving God's desires. So that's the most pleasing. And because such a person has dedicated himself to God, is dear to God, there's nothing more pleasing to God than the service of that person. What a wonderful concept. And this is what Srila Prabhupada stressed in spiritual life. And it's the one activity that in one stroke completely changes our consciousness. Completely changes our consciousness in one stroke. Because it's a change of identification. From I am the controller and the enjoyer to I am the servant of Krishna. That's what that relationship means. It's completely without designation or without material designation. To serve puts one in the position of love, and there's no other activity that does so. Without service, there's no love. Without love, there's no happiness. I was just speaking to Lakshmi Nisringa. Somehow, I came from New York yesterday. I was just there one night. Probably got back from a Kinchana's wedding reception, and that's without even trying to stay to be the last person, just naturally. I left there about 12, got some taxi back, got back to the ashram, probably went to sleep about 1, woke up at 5. They went out to meet people in New York, which was also so wonderful. Kali Krishna came with me. We met one very nice lady who came to one of my classes and wanted to learn mantra meditation and understand something. And I got to Lakshmi's house about 1 o'clock, and you know, they're preparing for a program today. He lives in a very interesting place. It's 12 kilometers from New York City. I mean, driving, you can make 26th Second Avenue in 25 minutes. Train's only 20 minutes, but it's the first gated community in North America. And, you know, you're just going through Jersey, and everyone knows Jersey. I always tell that joke, why are people in New York so distressed? The answer is because the light at the end of the tunnel is New Jersey. There's that comedy that Yadanath did at my Vyas Puja, my birthday celebration, where he came in and Danya was playing like on one of those scooters, those you kind of, not motorized, but you kind of push it along with one leg. And so they came, and then it's like a comedy, and then the girl broke down and said she doesn't want to do a comedy skit at my birthday because it could be Vaishnava Aparada, and the husband and the wife have an argument on the basis of Bhagavad Gita. So the husband gets very upset and says to the wife, oh, destroyer of logic, oh, enemy of rational thinking, parody of Bhagavad Gita. And then the wife gets angry and says, of the innocent you are O.J. Simpson, and of states you are New Jersey. Anyway, New Jersey's got that kind of rap. New Jersey is more densely populated than India. It's a fact. In India, you have farms. In New Jersey, it's just one, there's not even a distinction between one city and the next. It's all on the same strip mall. But somehow, this is 500 acres. That's as big as Central Park, I believe. And just beautiful hills and trees. You're entering into the country. And there's all kinds of big estates here. And there's a Dr. Soni, who Lakshmi knows for many years, who lets him stay in the carriage house, which is a beautiful two-bedroom place. And so I'm in a function. So when I came in, there was so much preparation for today that, you know, everything was in shambles. Like when you cleaned the attic, all the dust was up. So anyway, somehow I lost my point. Let me get back to the story. Sorry. That happens sometimes. Okay, the next verse. O Brahman, do you remember what happened to us while we were living with our spiritual master? Once our guru's wife sent us to fetch firewood, and after we entered the vast forest, or twice born one, an unseasonable storm arose with fierce wind and rain and harsh thunder. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that this storm arose during winter, was therefore unseasonable. So a storm. Then as the sun set, the forest was covered by darkness in every direction. With all the flooding, we cannot distinguish high land from low. Constantly besieged by the powerful wind and rain, we lost our way amidst the flooding waters. We simply held each other's hand and in great distress wandered aimlessly about the forest. Srila Sridhar Swami points out that the word Pariba Brahma may be understood to be the prefix pari with either the verb bri or brahm. In the case of brahm, it indicates that Krishna and Sudama wandered all about. And in the case of brim, which means to carry, it indicates that the two boys wandered about. They continued to carry the firewood they had secured for their spiritual master. So now they were in danger of their lives. They went out to do some, you know, service for their guru. Generally, in these ashrams, there is firewood. There's fire yajna, and the disciples have to collect the wood, get the right type of wood. They go out in the forest. It begins to rain. It's dark. It's lost. But the consciousness, this is so interesting, because they are the proper students or disciples. They're so fixed on the supremacy of service. And this is at the level of very high devotion, like the residents of Vrindavan. They never thought of the demons attacking. They only thought about their service to Krishna. This is such a heartfelt condition of the heart. It's not analytical in that sense. Whether I should keep the wood or drop the wood. No, that was their service. And they're attached to their service. So even though they're lost, they never lose the conception that life is about service. They never became overcome with the consciousness that I am the enjoyer, I'm the controller. Although, in the definition of pure devotional service by Rupa Goswami, when he says a pure devotional service, anyabhilashita shunyam, it should be free without any desires. The Sanskrit suffix ta means desire, nif. It means that there can be some desires that do not impede pure devotional service, personal desires, especially things for self-preservation. You may say, oh, in danger, save me, save me. Does that mean you're not a pure devotee? No. If you have the desire to go to the bathroom, does that mean you're not a pure devotee? No. There's certain desires that are not integral with any selfish motive. They are integral with your life's existence. So, but somehow they carry that wood. Our guru, Sandipani Muni, understanding our predicament, set out after sunrise to search for us, his disciples, and found us in distress. So it's love. It's love. And love means mutual affection. So the relationship with the spiritual master should be affectionate. And one of the qualities that one seeks in good sadhu sangha is not only more advanced, not only like-minded, swajatiya, but sneha. Must feel some affection. Because relationship with Vaishnav gurus is to develop our love for Krishna. So the relationship with the teacher is very, very important. And therefore, just like Prabhupada, when Dhamal Krishnamurti had a hernia operation and he was rushed to the hospital, somehow Prabhupada didn't think it was a good idea to get operated at this particular hospital. Prabhupada rushed to the hospital. It was too late. The operation was already performed. And when Dhamal Krishnamurti opened his eyes, he saw Prabhupada. I think the first thing he said, is there any service? The main thing is there's a mutual relationship. Krishna also wants to help us, although our mood should be to serve. So, and what attracts that relationship is the love and surrender. When you give yourself to someone, if they are not have a psychological aberration, that person will naturally give themselves to you. So Krishna, Sandipani Muni, also is loves his disciples, and he's concerned. So he leaves. Sandipani Muni said, "Oh, my children, you have suffered so much for my sake. The body is most dear to every living creature, but you are so dedicated to me that you completely disregard your own comfort." That's love. Love means your desires are focused on the desires of the person whom you love, and that's pure bhakti. Of course, we can take care of our comforts, our enjoyment, our needs. With that conception that it is for to support my service. And we can try for happiness or pleasure or enjoyment without the misconception that that pleasure enjoyment is happiness, but with the conception that that pleasure and enjoyment can help me to achieve happiness because it can make me fit or healthy or satisfied for the purpose of self-realization, for the purpose of Krishna consciousness. Etareva hi satrishyai kartavyam guru nishkritam Yadvai Vishuddha Bhavena Savatatmarpanam Guru. This indeed is the duty of all true disciples. To repay the debt to their spiritual master by offering him with their pure hearts, their wealth, and even their very lives. Purports. One engages one's body to realize one's purposes. The body is also the basis of the material conception of I, while one's fortune is the basis of the conception of mind. Thus, by offering everything to the spiritual master, one realizes oneself to be an eternal servant of the Lord. The spiritual master does not exploit the disciple, but rather engages him fully in Krishna consciousness, the disciple's eternal benefit. So there's an offering of one's wealth, of oneself. What it's saying here, by that offering sincerely, one gets over the conception of I and mine, which is the root of ego, the root of ignorance, and therefore the root of suffering. But the spiritual master does not exploit that offering, but takes that offering for service only. For service only. This is, I was recent when I was with Shamdas in Varsana last year. We were by Mankutir, and there's a Vallabha Baitik. And it's where Vallabha saw a python being eaten by ants and realized that it was a guru. The python was a guru who was dependent on his disciples. Rather than dependent on God. And looked at his disciples' offerings for his own maintenance and benefit. So he said that was the guru in last life, and the ants that are eating him now are the disciples. So one should give oneself fully. But to one who uses that offering to help you overcome the conception of I and mine as an offering to Krishna. Okay, I'm going to stop here today. Are there any questions? Anybody like to say hello? Thank you, Shastra. A lot of times people can't unmute the phones and then they write me letters. I liked the class, but I couldn't unmute the phone. But somehow the Delaware telephone exchange worked.
Die.
Okay, Shastra. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow. Thank you, Stella. Hare Krishna. Thank you for listening.
That was Irene.
Thank you. Wonderful. Oh, that's Mother Indrani. Nice to hear you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Hare Krishna. This is Radha Duty. Please accept me.
Radha Duty, thank you so much. That's great that you're listening to the class. Okay.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to head out now. We're going to prepare for this function today. Thank you all.